Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning L'Ilui Nishmasa and L'Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Frund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom. May her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning that we share every week. Baruch Hashem, may bring chusim to her family for besuros tovos and only simchas and good health to enjoy. So we are learning about Ahavas Hashem. We have spent a couple of weeks going through the Rambam and seeing what it means to be lovesick, literally to be lovesick, with love for the Ribono Shel Olam. And I came across something today in my learning, in my teaching, that I structured a special shiur around. I didn't think I was going to be addressing this related to Ahava, but we are going to take a break from the Rambam to explore a different topic also related to Yiras Hashem and Ahava Hashem. So today, of course, was Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av. I have a private session Wednesday afternoon with somebody, and she said to me, before we get to Parsha, can we please learn about Tu B'Av? Because she said everybody on Facebook is talking about Tu B'Av and wishing people a happy Tu B'Av, and I want to know what it is. So it spurred me to do some more in-depth research, and in my research and my teaching, I realized that it's very relevant to the shiur, and therefore I went steps further for this shiur and prepared something further totally related to the topic of our learning. So we will begin in Parshas Ekev. It's also a springboard from the parasha to the topic of this evening. So I'm already going to begin to screen share with you. And we will go to Parshas Ekev. No, I prepared it over. One second, I have to move you. Here's Parshas Ekev. Okay. So the beginning of our shir is going to be in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. This is actually a pasuk that I believe we have spoken about in the past related to Yiras Hashem. If you recall, some months ago we did Yiras HaOnesh, there's fear of punishment, there's Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Hashem, there's Yiras HaRomamus, there's all different levels of reverence, awe, pachad, fear before the Almighty. The basis of this is in this week's parsha, Parshas Ekev. Perek Yud, chapter 10, verse 12, Pasuk Yud Beis, in the book of Devarim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va'ata Yisrael, such a famous Pasuk, and now Israel, Ma Hashem Elokecha, you could see it on my screen, Sho'el Mimach, what does God want from you after all? How much is he asking for you, from you? Ki im liyira es Hashem Elokecha. So the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says is, what does Hashem want after all? He just wants you to fear him, to revere him. La'lachas bechol drachav, to go in all of his ways, ulahava also, and to love him. V'la'avodas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. So it sounds like, what does Hashem want from you? One thing. What does he want from you? An all-encompassing life of devotion and dedication to God. Only to revere the Almighty, and then to go in his ways, and then to love Hashem. And these two topics, Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem, are what we have been spending so much time focusing on in this year together, acquiring these two modes of service of God. And then la'avodas Hashem Elokecha, to serve Hashem your God, b'chol levavcha, with all of your heart, and with all of your soul. So there's a very, very famous Ma'amar Chazal based on this Pasuk. And the Gemara tells us in a number of different places, actually, Maseches Brachos and Maseches Megillah and in Maseches Nida. So you could see that here, Brachos, Megillah, and Nida. I'm looking at my Mikros Gedolos, and the Mikros Gedolos brings down Likutei Bavli v'Yerushalmi, but I'm going to show it to you on the screen. And the Gemara famously says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'yedei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim, shenemer, va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha shu'al mimach, kim liyira. Also, the Gemara famously teaches us, in three different places, Maseches Brachos, Maseches Megillah, Maseches Nida, that everything is in the hands of heaven except for one thing, and that is fear of heaven or reverence of heaven. Hashem is in control of everything that happens to us. Everything in life is under the jurisdiction of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what we have, what we don't have, what we get, what we don't get, how we feel, if we're well, Bezos Hashem, if we're ill, how much parnasa we have for a given year, how much rain there will be in the following year, people who will have children in the following year, Hakol B'yedei Shamayim. There is one thing that is not under the jurisdiction of heaven, but is under our power, and that is to fear God. How do you know? That says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in our parasha, and now Israel, what does Hashem want from you after all? He only wants one small thing. What does he want? Ki im liyira as Hashem Elokecha, that you should revere, you should fear the Almighty. And it seems to be that reverence for Hashem is a stepping stool towards these other acquisitions, Once you revere the Almighty, you will be able to walk in His ways. Then you will acquire love of Hashem. Then you will be able to serve God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So that is what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Lamed Gimel. Let us look at two different Mefarshim. We're going to first look at the Sforno, and then we'll look at the Or HaChaim. There was a comment, so I want to see what the comment was. Oh, you're so cute. Thank you. Somebody loves my tichel. I told them Monday night it's Michal with the tichel. I figured I'm coming to my basement to teach. I hope you all forgive me. Thanks for the compliment, Nancy. Some of you have already seen me in other shiurim with tichel. So, as of Hashem, when we go back to learning in person, I'll be back in my sheitel. Some weeks maybe I'll be back in my sheitel. For now, Nancy, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it. Okay? Appreciate the chizuk. So, here we go. The Sfarno teaches us, okay? Ve'ata Yisrael, and now Israel, what does Hashem want from you? Ki im liyiras Hashem al-kecha, only to revere the Almighty. So the Sfarno says, Ve'ata Yisrael, im kein ata Yisrael, hishtadel l'sakein me'uvisach, mikan v'hala. You see it on my screen, I'm looking at my Mikros Gedolos, Art School Mikros Gedolos has mekudos, so I'm not sure, I wasn't sure what that word was. Im kein, if so, Ato Yisrael, you Israel, hishtadel ata, try now, l'sakein, to fix, to correct, me'uvascha, your errors, your sins in tol. Now, mikan v'hala, from here on, we will be pure with God. From here on, we will be sin-free with God. V'hit bonein, and you should pay close attention. Ma Hashem elokecha sho'al mimach, pay attention to what God asks from you. She'eno sho'al davar litzarko. He doesn't ask for anything because he needs something. Whatever the Ribbon Sho'olam asks of us, it's not because God has a lack, chas v'sham, it's because we have a lack. He's not asking for something to fulfill his needs. So Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem do not fill a need of God. They fill a need or a lack that we have. Ki'im liyira. He's not asking for something that he needs. He's asking something from us that we need. Vizeh ta'asa. How will we acquire Yiras Hashem, reverence of God? Ki'hit bonein be'olfen shateida. Good lo. When you pay attention to how great, to how awesome, to how mighty, to how all-encompassing Hashem is, then we will come to revere Hashem. We will be in awe of God when we pay attention and when we know how great He is. Says the Sforno. What does it mean, La Hava Oso? You could see it here on my screen. La Hava Oso, says the Sforno. V'zeh tasig behit bonenecha el darchei tuvo. You will acquire love when you pay attention to His good ways. So you will acquire yira, says the Sforno, when you pay attention and you contemplate His greatness, His awesomeness, His all-encompassing, omnipotent being. He is the powerful being. You will come to revere the Almighty, to fear Hashem, to have yiras Hashem. How will we acquire ahavas Hashem? When we pay attention to His good ways, to His ways of goodness. This will make us love Him. V'chol zehu sho'el l'tov l'cha. Hashem asks of us to fear Him, to go in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all our heart and with all our soul, to be good for us. Not because it's good for Hashem, it's good for us. Kadesha tizke lechaye olam. So we will acquire eternal life. Eternal life does not mean in this world, because no one in this world acquires eternal life. Like someone said to me last year, no one has a long-term lease on life. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all men, the greatest Navi, prophet, who ever walked the earth, did not have a long-term lease on life in this world. But if we can acquire these stages of divine service, which we are working so hard on in our shir together, it will be good for us, and we will merit eternal life. Chaye olam. Let us look at the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim picks up on the fact, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, picks up on the fact that there are stages here. There is yira of Hashem. There is going in the ways of Hashem. There is the love of God. There is service of God, with all of our heart and with all of our soul. So the Or HaChaim notes that this is one stage built on top of another. What is the first stage? Now, it's here. I'm just, if you want to see the Or HaChaim with me, I have my Mikros Gedolos in front of me, but I'll go through it with you here for those who are interested in seeing the Lashon inside. I will be translating. Va'ata Yisrael, and now Israel. Again, this is a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, so this is very shayach. It comes from this week's Parsha. Ma Hashem elokech sho'al mimach, ki im liyir also, kavanes hakasuv hi. If you follow along with my cursor, my mouse, whatever you call this thing, from my trackpad when I'm controlling on a MacBook, you will see where I'm up to. Kavanas ha-kasuf hi, al zeh ha-darach. The intention of the pasuk is this. Lefi sheyesh beis hadregos. There are two levels from Madrego. There are two levels. Shechafetz Hashem Yisrael. That God desires from us. Asos. That God desires that we do. Veheim zu lemalazu. One stage on top of the other stage. What is the lower stage? Aleph. Hi hayira. So Yiras Hashem is the stage that must precede Ahavas Hashem. So we're working so hard on Ahavas Hashem. But don't forget that we spent months working on Yiras Hashem, reverence of the Almighty, awe of Hashem. The first stage is Yira, to revere, to be in awe, to be afraid of Hashem. Lamala mimenu ha-hava. Here's Yira. Above Yira is Ahava. And you see this in the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what does God ask from you? Only to fear Hashem. Only to go in his ways, and then to love him. The implication being, if you first acquire Yiras Hashem, you will come to go in his ways, and you will come to naturally go to the next stage, which is Ahava. The Amar Lahem, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, She'ena mevakish mehem ki im ha-yira. Hashem is asking nothing but reverence, Yira. Don't forget, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch points out, I've told you this before, in Sefer Devarim, Parak Chaf Hei, by Mechemes Amalek, below Yare Elokim, Amalek was now God-fearing. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch points out, to fear Hashem, liyiras Hashem, is also the same root as to see Hashem, lirot. When one sees or perceives God in their life, of course they will have yiras Shamayim. And if you do not see or perceive God, you will not have fear of heaven. So what does Hashem want from us? Einam avakish shazor chayim kiim hayira. Hashem wants you to fear him. V'tam hadavar hi. The reason for the matter that Hashem requests from us, or commands from us, or demands, or beseeches us to fear him, lefi shehayira tisovev eschem lalachas b'chol drachav, but I explained to you outside. Having yiras Hashem, fear is the wrong word, awe, to be in awe of God's mightiness, will cause you to go in his ways. Ki hayira lo yechda meyiraso afilu ba'achas me'elav sha'alav lasos. Because he who fears God will not hold back from doing one of the thousands of things that is demanded upon him. If you're in such awe of the Almighty, you will go in his ways because you're going to fulfill what he demands of you. Ve'lo zu blovad magiaso ela odo ulahava oso. The end goal is not simply to fear, to fear God, and then to go in his ways, but to reach a higher madrega, which is to love him. Harei shehayira hi pesach likanes l'shar ahava. Look carefully, I highlighted for you. Look at the Arachayim. Behold, you see that yiras Hashem, to revere the Almighty, is the gateway, is the opening to enter into shar ahava. So if you want to acquire ahavas Hashem, love of God, but you skip over yiras Hashem, reverence of the Almighty, you can't do that. It doesn't work like that. You must first acquire ki'im liyira as Hashem Elcha, to be in awe, to revere, to have a healthy sense of pachad, to see Hashem, lira'ot as Hashem, and therefore to fear Hashem. That will cause you, says the Or HaChaim, to go in his ways. Remember, the Sforno says it's for our good. It's not for Hashem's good. We're not feeling a lack. There is no lack in the Ribon Shalom. We're feeling a lack in ourselves. This will bring us to Chaye Olam. And once we go in his ways, we will naturally love him. And therefore, Yira is the Pesach, the opening to enter into the Shar Ahava. 1 second. Yes, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Bnei Yisrael. Correct. I think that's Shani, the aha, with 3 exclamation marks. Am I correct? Shani, is that you? Bill, Libby's question, yes. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Bnei Yisrael. Correct. Bilam did not see this angel standing in front of him. He wasn't afraid of Hashem. Very nice. So I don't have a Bamidbar in front of me. It's you. Okay. Can we translate to awe only? We could, but it's very hard to translate out of Lashon HaKodesh. You're not meant to translate into English. It's a problem. So Yira does not have an exact translation into English because you're not supposed to really be translating this into English, which is why I'm saying fear, awe, pachad, to revere the Almighty. Bilam did not see the angel standing in front of him. He wasn't afraid of Hashem. So I don't remember the exact Lashon there by the angel. That's Balak. His prophecy is in like chapter 23. It is. So maybe he saw the donkey. It is. It's chapter 22. Interestingly, Shani, Vatere ha'ason es malach Hashem. The ason, the she donkey, perceives God. Vatere ha'ason es malach Hashem. It's the she donkey who perceives God and therefore has fear of God. Third time, Vatere ha'ason es malach Hashem. So it never says he doesn't see the donkey. It just says Hashem opened his eyes and then he saw the Malach Hashem. But certainly the implication of that is if Hashem had to open his eyes and he did not see before, that you're correct. He did not see before. And because he didn't see before, he didn't have Yiras Hashem. That's correct. It is an embarrassment to Bilam, which is why Chasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Kvod and Shabriya. So Hashem killed the donkey so Bilam should not be embarrassed. So imagine if Hashem cares about the covet of Bilam, whose last name is Rasha, how much we should care about the covet of our fellows. Okay, so we see that says the Or HaChayim, Yira is the gateway to the Sha'ar Ahava. If you do not acquire Yiras Hashem, you cannot go to Ahavas Hashem, like the Pasuk tells us in our Parsha. And therefore, when the Pasuk says the Or HaChayim, Ma Hashem Shoel, Ki'im Li Yira, what is Hashem asking of you? Only to fear Him. Dikdeik Lomar Ve'ata. The Pasuk was very careful. The first word is Ve'ata, and now. Perush, meaning, Ma'ashu Shoel Li Yira Hu Ata, Bisman Hazeh. Hashem asks of you now to fear Him when you accept the yoke of His kingship. But ein zeh tachlis masha chafetz mimenu. But this isn't the tachlis. It's not the end goal of what He wants. Ela shezoya amdenu begeder ha'ahava. So now, where you are now in your service of God, we might be now on the degree of Yiras Hashem. But keep in mind, that's only now. The end goal is va'ata, now, with an ayin. Now, Hashem wants you to fear Him. But keep in mind, from that reverence, from that awe, from that yira, from that pachad, you should move forward to go in all of His ways. And when you do that, you will come to love Hashem. So Ahavas Hashem comes from, we've just seen in the Or HaChayim, we looked at the Gemara and Brachos, Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyiras Hashemayim. I translated this already. We looked at the Sfarnu, says it's for our benefit. It's not to fulfill a lack of Hashem, it's to be good for us. We will come to Yira, says the Sforno, when we contemplate His awesomeness. We will come to Ahava when we contemplate His goodness. And the Or HaChayim builds things a little bit further and says, if you do not have Yira, we quote Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch, the Devarim 25, if you do not see Hashem, you can't possibly fear Hashem. Shani brought us a good example from Bilam, who did not see Hashem, so he did not fear Hashem. And therefore, Yira will bring you to Ahava. So in my own words, I wrote, and remember this line, because it's going to be relevant soon for the Mishnah we're going to learn. In the quest for Ahava, you must first acquire Yira. Remember that line. I coined it, but listen. In the quest for Ahava, in the quest for love, you must first acquire Yira. Awe, fear, trepidation, reverence, however you want to translate it. In the quest for Ahava, you must first acquire Yira. So yes, I coined that phrase, but you saw in the sources along with me. So I want to now screen share. Right? So this comes as a 6-page email to me from Sima Geffen. And I greatly appreciate that she sent it to me. It was a whole Dvar Torah from a sefer called Shvilei Pinchas. On Ahava and Yira. So I couldn't teach it without putting it on the screen for you. So here it is. Okay. A quote of art from Rav Shimshon of Ostropol, Zchusei Agen Aleinu, in the Likutei Shoshanim, in the name of the Sefer Limudei HaArizal, Kabbalistic. Yira Ahava B'Kedusha, V'hini B'Kesher Achad Timtze'enu. Yira and Ahava in holiness, and behold, they are kesher. How would you translate kesher? They are combined. They are tied together, one to another, and that's how you will find them. The translation here is intimately connected. One second. Another comment. It's okay. I just want to try and get through the material. So that's what we're learning. You can't really work on Ahava without attaining it after mastering Yira. That's exactly correct. You must master Yira, You will be zocha to attain ahava. Really hold that question. It's a very good question because you're going to see it answered in what I'm bringing you now. This is from a sefer called Shvilei Pinchas to Parshas Va'eschanan. So this is Kabbalistic. Rabbi Shimshon of Ostropol illustrates this idea, the connection between Yira and Ahava, Hakesher Achad Timtze'enu, with the following diagram. You must look on my screen. It's brilliant. It's Torah's unbelievable. If you write out the word Yira, Yod, Reish, Aleph, Hey. Other people are listening online. All I can tell you is write this out in boxes. Yod, then Reish in the upper right box. Aleph, Hey in the upper left box. That spells Yira. Under those two boxes, write Ahava. Aleph, Hey, bottom right box. Beis, Hey, bottom left box. I know it sounds confusing, but if you write it out, it's really not confusing. Write the word Yira, Yod, Reish, Aleph, Hey. Make a grid, that's what I should say. Make a four-box grid. Top right corner, Yod Resh. Top left corner, Aleph Hey. Bottom right corner, Aleph Hey. Bottom left corner, Beis Hey. And look at this! Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. When these two words, Yira, which means to revere the Almighty, and Ahava, are written one on top of another, look at my screen. They can be read horizontally from right to left, Yira, or vertically from top to bottom, Yira, Ahava, Ahava. Do you see that? You can read the word Yira horizontally. You can read the word Yira vertically. You could read the word Ahava horizontally. You could read the word Ahava vertically. This is very Kabbalistic. They talk about letters and diagrams and by the spheros. I could only tell you because I'm teaching it from a source. I couldn't tell this to you on my own. In other words, the first two letters of the word Yira, Yod Resh, combine with the first two letters of the words Ahava to spell Yira. Similarly, the last two letters of the word Yira, Aleph Hey, combine with the last two letters of the word Ahava to spell Ahava. This illustrates, pointed out, the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, that Yira and Ahava are intimately connected. Again, for those listening online, make a grid with four boxes, and you will see how easily this works out. Top right box, Yod Resh. Top left box, Aleph Hey. Bottom right box, Aleph Hey for Ahava. Bottom left box, Beis Hey. You can now read Yira horizontally on the horizontal axis to revere the Almighty, or vertically. If you read it vertically, you're using two letters from the word Ahava. And you could read Ahava horizontally, or you could read it vertically. This shows you, the Arizal teaches, that you cannot have Yira without Ahava, and you cannot have Ahava without Yira. But which comes first? Like one of the questions, Yira must come first. Because the ability, the Maggid of Meserich teaches, the ability, thank you so much to Sima Geffen, the ability to read these two words horizontally and vertically only works if what's on top, Yira or Ahava. It only works if what's on top? Yira. I just saw Libby's lips moving. It only works if Yira's on top. If Ahava's on top, it won't work. So that means, like the Or HaChaim teaches us, what comes first in Avodas Hashem? Yira. In the quest, I'm going back to the phrase that I coined, but it's all based on these sources. In the quest for Ahava, you must first search for Yira. Again, the Maggid of Meserich teaches, it's much easier if you're looking on my screen or if you made the grid for yourself. I went over it four times and I hope it's clear to everybody. It's really brilliant. The ability to read these two words horizontally and vertically only works if Yira precedes Ahava. If Ahava comes first, the words cannot be read from top to bottom. This emphasizes the point once again. You must strive to acquire Yira. You can look on my screen. I'm reading from the Shvilei Pinchas along with you. By doing so, listen, somebody asked the question to me privately, and this is your answer. This emphasizes the point. You must first strive to acquire Yira. By doing so, you will merit the gift of Ahava. As a gift from heaven. If you strive and work on Ahava, Yiras Hashem, and understand Ma Hashem Elokecha Shur El Mimach, Hakol B'Yidei Shemayim, Chutz MiYiras Shemayim, says the Gemara in Brachos. Everything is in the hands of heaven except Yiras Shemayim, which means even Ahava Hashem is in the hands of heaven. Like we are seeing here, based on this Kabbalistic teaching, if one strives to acquire Yira, they will be granted the gift from heaven of Ahava. The Gemara does not say, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz me'ahava v'yira. The Gemara says, everything's in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven. Once we acquire and work on that healthy reverence of Hashem, when we contemplate His greatness, says the Sforno, we will naturally fear Him. We will be granted by heaven Ahava. However, if we reverse the order, not only will we not acquire Yira, but even our Ahava will be lacking. The Maggid of Meserich explains, if a person reinforces Yira day after day, it will naturally give rise to Ahava. Hashem will bless you. He will endow you. You will have Siyata Deshmaya, assistance from heaven. He will bless you with the zchus of loving Him if you work on Yira Shamayim. This is the implication of the Pasuk, and look how beautifully this ties into the beginning of my shir and this week's parsha, and some of the Gefen did not know what I was teaching this week. And now, Yisrael, what does Hashem your God ask of you but to fear Hashem? That's a Pasuk that was the springboard for our whole shir. In other words, strengthen your Yira, from it Ahava will follow automatically. Like you see in this grid diagram, strengthen your Yira, and any way you cut it, you can read Yira and Ahava intertwined, as long as Yira precedes Ahava. Okay, there are 10 comments. So now that I went through that piece, I'm going to address them. Yes, it is well, Baruch Hashem, it's amazing. So if you could not see it, you only see my inbox. Why does everyone say they couldn't see it? You couldn't see it? Yes, what? You could see it or you couldn't see it? You couldn't see it? I put it on my screen. Ah, 1 second, where did it go? I closed out of it. Why couldn't you see it? It's on my screen. You're telling me you can't see this downloaded? You can see my emails. That is very strange. It's not coming up on my screen share. It's literally... Can you see it now? Okay, I went through the whole thing. I'm not reteaching it. And some of you may have made the grid already for yourself. But I'm just, now you could see it. I'm so sorry. You wrote it out. Okay, I'm so sorry. I should have checked the chat before, but I wanted to get through the piece I was teaching. But you could see it now, yes? Okay. Now look, if you write Yira, even though I went and I told you, so everyone who heard this and made their own diagram, if you're listening online, bear with me. Yod Reish Aleph Hei spells Yira. Aleph Hei Beis Hei spells Ahava. If you have Yira before Ahava, then any way you read this, you can read Yira on the horizontal axis. You could read Yira on the vertical axis by using two letters from the word Ahava. You could read Ahava on the horizontal plane, and you could read Ahava by using Aleph Hei from Yira and Beis Hei from Ahava. This shows you, like the Arizal teaches us, how intimately connected Yira and Ahava are, but only if Yira comes first. If you try and write Ahava here and Yira down here, it's not going to work. Yira comes first, then Ahava. How connected are they? You can read them any which way you cut it, as long as your Yira precedes your Ahava. And like we quoted from the Maggid of Meserich, if a person reinforces the attribute of Yira, it will give rise to Ahava, just like the pasuk in our parsha. Va'ata Yisrael, ma'ashem elkecha shu'el mimach, ki im li'yira oso, l'leches b'chol drachav, ula Ahava oso. So therefore, the Maggid of Meserich teaches, if you strive to acquire Yira, Ahava will be given to you as a gift. Look how connected they are. So going back to my premise, which is, in order to acquire Ahava, you must search for Yira in English. In order to acquire love, you must search for reverence, awe, fear, pachad. Okay, you saw it now? I'm so sorry. Now you saw it, and I explained it well. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Sorry, I didn't realize. I was trying to get to the piece without interrupting myself for the comments, but the comments were important, and I should have checked them. I did the same thing last week when Debbie Fried was trying to tell me I could cut out the waiting room. Okay, but I think I explained it. I hope I explained it well. Yes, it's very cool. Nancy said, ooh, it is. It's pretty amazing. Okay. Why does this all have to do with Tu B'Av? Wow. I'm going to screen share again. Can someone tell me? I could see the people. I could see Abigail, Libby, and Nancy. You could see the Mishnah. Now in my inbox. There's nothing so private in my inbox. But could you see the Mishnah? Yes. Okay. Let's look at the Mishnah in Tainis with the Bartanura. Don't worry. I didn't mean anything. If you tell me anything private, I do not share it with anybody. I didn't mean that. I just meant there's nothing that probably you can see on the... Oh, wow. Okay. Very good. Nancy, appreciate it. Baruch Hashem. What does this all have to do with Tu B'Av? Wow. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Oh, sorry. We're in Mishnah Tainis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Ches. Tainis 4:8. This is the last Mishnah, Mesachas Tainis. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael kachamisha asar ba'av ukayama kippurim. There was never such a day of Yom Tov for Israel like the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur, we could understand. Yom Kippur. Why is it a Yom Tov? So the Bar Tanura says, and we can't learn Mishnah without the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura is the classic commentator, 15 to 1600s, Italian, who ended up in Eretz Yisrael, who is most famous, Rav Avadia Mibar Tanura, for his commentary on Mishnah. Why is Yom Kippur a Simcha? Says the Bar Tanura, if you look on this side of my screen, Shebo Nitnu Luchos Ha'achronos, we got the second Luchos. Hashem said, Salachti Kidvaracha. He forgave Moshe, and he forgave the Bnei Yisrael after Moshe davened for Echad HaEgel. He gave us the second set of tablets. Vuhu Yom Mechila V'Slicha. I understand why it's a Yom Tov, literally good day. Why is it a Yom Tov? Why is it a festival day? Why is it a happy day? Because it's a day of Mechila and Slicha. From the time Hashem said to Moshe, Salachti Kidvarecha, I forgive you like your word, which is what we say, by the way, repeatedly during the Ilah on Yom Kippurim. It's a day of forgiveness and atonement. So of course it's a Yom Tov. But why is Chamisha Asar Ba'av a Yom Tov? Tu Ba'av is also a Yom Tov. And his wine. Whose wine? I'm not sure what that means. So what was Tu B'Av? So the Bar Tanura says, there's a number of reasons why Tu B'Av was a Yom Tov. We're only going to go through very briefly most of the reasons, because I want to get to the Mishnah. But the Bar Tanura says, why is Tu B'Av a Yom Tov? Shabo Kalu Misei Midbar B'Shnas Hamem. In the 40th year, you could look at Medrash Eicha Rabba Pesichta Lamed Gimel. You'll see the whole story there. The people who had to die in the desert for 40 years, the men between the ages of 20 and 60, stopped dying on Tu B'Av. It's a very, very beautiful piece of Medrash. We don't have time. Medrash Eicha Rabba Psichta Lamed Gimel. For purposes of tonight's Shiur, those who had to die in the Midbar stopped dying on Tu B'Av, so it was a Yom Tov. Furthermore, Ubo Nit Balu Osan Hashomim Shahoshiv Yeravam Ben Nevat Shahayumoni Mesusosha Lo Ya Alu Laregal. Yeravam Ben Nevat, I'm quoting from the Art School Mishnah Tiny's footnote to help explain this piece of the Bar Tanura. Yeravam was the first king of the northern kingdom. He stationed guards on the roads to stop Jews from going up to the Beis HaMikdash, which was in the southern kingdom, on the Shalosh Regalim. Hoshea, the last king of the northern kingdom, removed the guards on the 15th of Av. So the Bar Tanura says, when the Shomrim, when the guards were removed, that Yeravam put up, the men could not be all on the regal to go up to the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. They prevented Israel from being all on the regal. When the guards were removed by King Hoshea, it was a Yom Tov. Furthermore, Ubo Nitnu Haruge Besar Lekvura. This is very famous. The Romans squashed the Beitar rebellion, including Rabbi Akiva. They thought Bar Koziva, Bar Kochva was the Messiah, Mashiach. They believed that even though the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, a star will shoot forth, talking about Bilam and Balak, it's from Bilam's prophecy. Darach Kochav Miyakov, Vishavim Miyisrael. That's why he was called Bar Kochva. He was thought to be the star of Mashiach. The Romans squashed the Beitar rebellion. about 65 years after the Churban, thousands of Jews were killed. Initially, they could not bury the dead of Beitar. The Romans would not allow it. When they finally had permission to bury the dead of Beitar, it was Tu B'Av. The bodies did not decompose. They made a Yom Tov, and they read the bracha. They composed the bracha of Hatov, V'Hameitiv, and Birkas Hamazon. Okay. I told you, we're going through these very briefly. They each really need their own shiur. The dead stopped, the men stopped dying in the Midbar on Tu B'Av in the 40th year. Hosea removed the guards from the northern kingdom who prevented the Jews from being Ola L'Regal, put up by Yeravam ben Nevat, a wicked king. 3, the dead of Beitar were brought to Kavura Yisraelis. 4, Hayuposkim L'Charot Eitzim L'Ma'aracha L'Fishe Me'az Tash Kocha Shachama. All year they would be busy. There was a time period when they cut word, when they cut wood for the Mizbeach, for the pyre, P-Y-R-E, on top of the altar. On Tu B'Av, they stopped cutting the wood because from this point on, the heat of the sun diminishes. You're closer to fall than to the heat of summer. And they weren't sure if the sun had the koach, li'avesh, whoops. They weren't sure if the sun had the koach to dry out the wood anymore. And therefore, these are 4 things that the Bar Tanura says why Tu B'Av is a Yom Tov. They stopped dying in the desert. The soldiers Yeravam ben Nevat stationed were eradicated by Hosea. The Beitar dead were brought to Kavura. They stopped cutting wood for the Atzei HaMe'aracha, the wood for the pyre, P-Y-R-E, that went on top of the Mizbeach, because from this point and on, the sun wasn't hot enough to dry out the wood. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael k'chamisha asar ba'av l'kuyam ha-kipurim. There were never such joyous days, Yom Tov days, like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. We already saw the 4 reasons why Tu B'Av was a Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur, we already saw in the Bar Tanura why it was a Yom Tov as well. So what did they do? And now you're going to see in the Mishnah why Tu B'Av is associated with Shidduchim. Shebahen binos Yerushalayim yotzos b'klei lavan sh'ulin. The daughters of Jerusalem. By the way, the Gemara, Masachas Taini, Slamed Aleph, expounds upon this Mishnah. The daughters of Yerushalayim would go out dressed in white, borrowed garments. Why borrowed garments? Why didn't they wear their own white dresses? So the Bar Tanura says, look over here. Shekulon sho'alin, everyone borrowed a white dress. Afilu ashiros, even the rich girls, who may have had 10 white dresses, borrowed. Why? Shelo levayesh esmisha einlo. Because there were rich girls in Jerusalem and there were poor girls in Jerusalem. And maybe the poor girls did not have a white dress. Everybody borrowed a white dress from somebody else. Therefore, everybody had one. Even if you were poor and didn't have one in your own closet, by the fact that you borrowed a white dress, and the Gemara in Tainis tells us who borrowed from who, everybody had to borrow a white dress, and therefore nobody was embarrassed. Like the Mishnah says, Shelo levayesh esmisha einlo. So as not to embarrass you, do not have a white dress. Everyone borrowed, so there was no one better than anyone else. So the Mishnah began by telling us there was no Yom Tov days for Israel like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. We explained according to the Bar Tanura why Chamisha Asar B'Av is a Yom Tov and why Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. And on these days, the girls of Yerushalayim would go out dressed in white. White symbolizes purity. And last week's parsha, V'aschanan, when Moshe Rabbeinu in 325, Perikim and Pasuch Havei, Moshe Rabbeinu asked to go into Eretz Yisrael, Abrana V'era Es Eretz HaTova, Hahar HaTov Hazeh V'Halavonan, Levonan. He wants to see this good mountain, Rashi says Yerushalayim, the Halavonan. He wants to see the Beis HaMikdash because it whitens the sins of Israel. They dressed in white, which symbolizes purity. The girls borrowed dresses from everybody else. Again, the Gemara in Tiny Islam et al. Tells you who they borrowed from who. And nobody should be embarrassed. They didn't ask, is this girl wealthy? Is she comfortable? Nice ways of asking if she's rich. When he got the shidduch phone call, everybody borrowed a white dress. There is no rich. There is no poor. Everyone's wearing a white dress. Nobody should be embarrassed. Kol hakelim tu'unin tvila. They would first immerse all the garments in case. The Bartanura says, Kodem Shayal Bishum, before the girls got dressed in these white garments, they had to immerse the garments. Lafisha ain kol achas bekia bechaverta, shema nida haisa. Nobody knew when the other girl was a nida. Maybe you borrowed a dress from someone who was a nida, and now that garment is not pure. So all the dresses underwent immersion, ritual purity before anybody wore them, in case the girl you borrowed from was a nida. And what did they do? Ubinos Yerushalayim Yotzos V'cholos Bakiramim. And the girls, the virgin daughters, the maidens of Yerushalayim went out and they danced in the vineyards. I want to see if I still have it on my screen. So the person I was learning this afternoon, a different level of learning. So I put this on the screen. Can you see my screen? I said to her, how do you think this looked? She said, it must have been so nice. It must have been so beautiful. I mean, just use the image of what the Mishnah is telling you. Here you see the vineyards and all the Benos Yerushalayim, the single woman, this was a married woman, would put on white dresses that they borrowed to spare anybody shame in the shidduch process. And they all underwent ritual purity, purification, tevila of these garments in case somebody was in need before you got it. And they went out to the vineyards. And the Mishnah says, V'cholot betupimim cholos, Shemos 15:20. They went out with dances in the vineyards. Umeh hayu omros. And the men, of course, again, the Gemara Maseches Tainis embellishes or fills in the blanks of the Mishnah. Umeh hayu omros. And what did they say? The men came out, the single young men came out to choose a kala. There was no resume, there was no debates if we should have pictures or shouldn't have pictures, what does the father do, what does the mother do, what was the grandfather, where did they go to school when they were 3 years old, so now they're 22 and you're not sure if you should marry them, because when they're three they went to this school, and were they head of anything, and what size are they slim, are they overweight, what do they eat, how does the mother serve? That's not what they said. Bachur, young man, sana einecha ure'e, Ma'ata borer lach. Pay close attention when you choose for yourself. Al titein einecha benoi. You're just looking for beauty? Noi is beauty. Don't look for external beauty. Tein einecha b'mishpacha. Does she come from a good family? What do they value in that family? What is she like internally? You're only looking for noi? You're only looking for beauty? It's going to get you nowhere in life. Do we all look the same like when we got married? 24 years ago, for some of you less, for some of you more, do we look the same as when we first got married? That's external beauty. Sheker hachein, the hevel hayofi. Isha yiras Hashem ti tisalal. For those listening online, I'm not adding that pasuk again. Go look up the Mishnah in Tainis. What are you looking for? They said, Bachur, sana einecha re'e ma taborelach. Young man, choose wisely. What does it mean to choose wisely? You don't know if I had money for the dress or if I didn't have money for the dress. You don't know if it's mine or if it's not mine. You don't know if my family's rich or my family's poor. Choose well. Don't look for beauty. Look much deeper. Because shachar hachein, the hevel hayofi, isha yiras Hashem, ki tisalal. What was my proposition? In the quest for Ahava, search for Yira. Because Yira comes before Ahava. What did they say to those men? Isha Yiras Hashem Ti Tisal. You're in a quest for love, Bachur, with the Benos Yerushalayim. Find the quality of Yiras Hashem. Because if you find she who is a Yirei Shamayim, love will follow. Oh, it's so beautiful. I know Tu B'Av is over, but it's so beautiful. And when I was teaching this afternoon to this young woman who loves to learn on her own level, very admirable, she's amazing. And when I was preparing this Mishnah and then teaching it to her, and I read this, I thought, this is what we're working on. And isn't that what we saw in Parshas Ekev with the sources that we all quoted, all the sources that we quoted? Ahava follows Yira. If you strive for Yira, Ahava will be gifted to you. And apparently it's true in a relationship as well. Because sheker hachein, external beauty is sheker, it's falsehood, it's nothing. The hevel hayofi, an external beauty is hevel havalim, a kol hevel. It's worth nothing. Because what that girl looks like when she's dancing in the vineyards with two bob is not what she's going to look like when she's pregnant with her fifth kid. And nursing and exhausted and she hasn't slept. And maybe she gained a few pounds and maybe her hair is not as lustrous. And maybe she didn't do her makeup today. Maybe she's wearing a tichel to shear. It doesn't matter. Isha yiras Hashem, he tisalal. If you want to find the hava in life, it's so beautiful. I'm almost crying. It's so beautiful. If you want to find ahava, search for yira. That's praiseworthy. But Omer, like the pasuk says, "Sula mipri adeha, v'yahaleluha basha'arim ma'aseha." Let her enjoy the fruit of her hand, and praise her in the gates. What should you praise? How stunning she is. Where she bought her white dress? If she got it from a gamach? Or if she paid $2,000 or even more, I don't even know. It's been many years since I bought a wedding gown. What should you praise in the sha'arim? Ma'aseha. In the quest for ahava, search for yira. And those men went out to dance. They were searching for ahava. If you found a woman who was a yiras Hashem, you can be guaranteed that the Ribbono Shel Olam will bless you with the gift of ahava to follow. Tu B'Av was today, Nancy. Wednesday day. We are now Orel Yom Tes Zion, 16th of. Tu B'Av was today. So I think we approved, based on Akev, Devarim, Perakyot, Pasuk Yabez. We looked at the Gemara, we looked at the Sfarno, we looked at the Aruch Chaim. We looked at that beautiful piece that's very Kabbalistic. Yira is the foundation for Ahava. Ahava will be gifted to you. And I hope you all have a deeper meaning about finding a Basher means, whether it's for you or your children or somebody you're trying to set up. When people search for Ahava, Yira comes first. And so the maidens in the vineyard said, choose wisely. Isha Yiras Hashem, he tisalal. Hakol b'yidei shemayim chutz mira shemayim. And if you search for Yira, Hashem will bless you in your home and in your heart with the gift of Ahava. Okay.